have looked in detail at the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We are now down to verse 13, the last verse in that prayer. So probably within the next couple of weeks, we'll be finishing this. And like I'd said on Sunday, I would ask you to start thinking about what you would like to study on Wednesday and make some suggestions. It would be best if you wrote it down. That's the only way I would remember it. So if you told me now, I would have forgotten it by the time I left. So think about that over the next couple of weeks. Tonight's lesson certainly applies to all of us because we've all been there in one way or another. And that is in Matthew 6, verse 13, the very first part of that says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So this is about guidance. This is about guidance. And every Christian, every disciple, believer needs guidance in their life. We look out in the world and we see a society that's pretty much just adrift. They just follow whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say, go wherever they want to go. But Christians are to be guided. And of course, we're to be guided by God. And so the very first thing that Jesus says in this is, lead us not. And if you look at those words in the original language, the idea is, do not let us fall victim. So it's not that we don't ever want to have any type of trials of any kind. It is, let not those things cause us to fall. And so that's what we're asking guidance for from God, is not letting us fall victim to these temptations. And the word temptation there has two primary meanings. Tonight we'll look at one of those and probably next Wednesday the other one as we kind of bring this pretty much to a close. But the one we're going to look at tonight has to do with trials. And that's why I said this applies to everybody, because everybody has trials. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody has sufferings. And so that's the meaning we're going to look at tonight. The idea of a trial, proving, as one person wrote, proving of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy. The Bible said God tests our faithfulness. He tests our courage. He tests whether we're trustworthy. Because these issues that come up in life either make us better or worse. And so that's why the Bible, and we'll look at a number of verses, stress that these things are to prove us, refine us, make us better. So God is doing that. So let's begin by looking in James chapter 1. This I know will be familiar to all of you, but if someone would read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we'll look at some things that James says about our trials and difficulties. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4.
"My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing."
All right. He's talking to those in the brotherhood, right? Those in the church. And he says, count it all joy. Consider it a blessing. That's what he's saying. Consider it a blessing. Not that you're in trials, but because of what the trials can produce. That's what he's saying. And so going back to Jesus' prayer when he says, lead us not into temptation. No, don't let us fall victim to these things. Because these things come along in life for a purpose. That's what he's saying. Trials come along, difficulties come along for a purpose. And he says there, the testing of your faith develops patience. Does it always develop patience? No. Sure doesn't. Sometimes it does just the opposite, right? Trials come along, and we're the exact opposite of patience. That's why I said these things that come along do one of two things. They can either make us better or make us worse. It's up to us. And that's why he says, ask for guidance. You need guidance. You need guidance from God so that these things produce patience, perseverance, and not make you worse. So it all, of course, comes down to decisions and choices like we have all the time. So he says, count it joy because it develops patience or perseverance. And he says, let that have its perfect work so that you will be perfect. You'll be complete. Trials, sufferings, and difficulties can, if we allow them, make us more mature. Now, how can that happen? Why does James say that those things, these trials and sufferings and difficulties, how can those make us complete, spiritually mature? Anyone hear my question? This is like my class at school. What's the point of these then? How can they make us, like he says, how can these things help us develop patience or perseverance?
Make us stronger.
Makes us stronger.
More self-controlled.
It's like working out, right? It's like working out. That the pain, the exercises, the discipline that you go through is supposed to make you stronger. So mentally and emotionally and spiritually, these things are to make us stronger. Help us to have more self-discipline and self-control. So in other words, they have a purpose. Okay, they have a purpose. And we go back, of course, think about the one that the person that was went through more than anything was probably Job. And you just look at his whole book about the things that he went through. Yeah, he had some difficult times during those times, but he ended up learning a lot from those things that came up. All right, Romans chapter 5 is another one. Romans chapter 5. If someone now would read verses 3 through 5.
And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance proves character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us.
All right. He says, we boast in tribulations. We boast in sufferings. Not because that's what we want, but because those things, like he says, again, produces patience or perseverance. And that produces character. Perseverance produces character. Now, how does that happen? How does perseverance or patience produce character? That's exactly right. That's right. It builds you up, right? Each time you overcome, then it builds you up. It builds that character. And then he says that produces hope. And of course, over time when you do that, then you see what it's producing in you. And you do have more self-control and you have more self-discipline. And so you are able to go through these trials better than you have in the past. And that's the idea of becoming more mature and more complete and stronger, because of those things. And so those difficulties that come along really show us who we are. I mean, it shows us what kind of people we are, what kind of character we have, you know, if we're people of integrity or not. some people say, and I know you've heard this probably on TV or read it, that they don't believe in God because that there are trials and difficulties in life. They'll say, oh, there can't be a God, because if there was a God, he wouldn't allow those things. He made, I mean, this world is the perfect world to prepare us for the next world. Because the next world is the biggie. It's the important one. And he made this world so, first of all, we can have freedom to choose, free will. And he made this world so that by making choices, it does make us stronger and prepares us for the next world. So as far as that goes, that's what this world is. It's a proving ground. It's a proving ground for the next one. And so God allows those things to happen so that it is a proving ground. It's a way for us to be stronger. Thomas Warren, I think, calls it the veil of soul making. I like that phrase. The veil of soul making. It is the time when we're on earth that our souls are made in the sense of, are we going to be fit for heaven? Are we going to be fit for heaven? So, Jesus says, pray for guidance. Pray for guidance so that these things, and we'll look at some specific ones in a minute, don't make you fall victim. In other words, you're made stronger instead of going in the other direction. Because there are a lot of benefits to these trials and temptations and things that try to ensnare us. That goes back now to something Misty said. Would someone read 1 Timothy 3:12? Because that tells us just what was brought up.
Let the deacons be the husbands of one... Is that right?
I don't know, I may have wrote the wrong one down. 2 Timothy 3:12. Well, that's what I said. I said 2 Timothy. What are you doing looking in 1 Timothy? Let's get our ears open a little bit now. 2 Timothy 3:12.
Get it out of your system.
That's right.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution.
Okay. That's a given, isn't it? That's not a, you might possibly have some somewhere along the way. That is, you will. Absolute guarantee to promise. You are going to have some. Paul says the same thing, Romans 8:18. Hopefully that's the right one. Romans 8:18. Yep, that's the right one. Romans 8:18. Okay, they're not even worthy to be compared. Not even worthy. Regardless of the trials and sufferings and so forth, Paul says they're nothing compared to what awaits you. I mean, they're just no comparison. That's what he's saying. So regardless of what you have to go through, it is tiny compared to how wonderful heaven's going to be. So again, pray. Ask for guidance. Look for guidance. Because the Christian's life is not easy. It's not an easy task. Jesus said it wasn't going to be easy. He told all of his followers that Understand it's going to be difficult. People aren't going to like you. Some people will hate you. Some people try and kill you. They'll revile you. They will show contempt. So be prepared that if you're really living for Christ, it is not going to be an easy life. So suffering, going through these temptations can do a lot for us. They can, you know, sometimes it's those trials that cause people to really think about what's important. Well, you know, what's important in life. So those difficulties come along. They find out that they have some disease or something. Tornado comes along and blows their house away, or things like that can cause people to really think about what's important. So those type of things can make a big difference in people's life if they allow it to. So these things can help us be stronger, like we mentioned, have a stronger character, helped us to evaluate life. Let's go back to Psalms 119 and verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. Someone to read that verse. This is a great one that goes along with what we're talking about.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Is that it?
Yes.
But, that's not all. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that wasn't the whole thing. It's the right verse.
That's the right verse.
That's right. Before I was afflicted, I wasn't on the right path. After my affliction caused me to get on the right path. Now I'm keeping your word. So the suffering and going through these trials can make you think about which way your life is headed. You know, am I headed in the right direction, or do I need to do a 180 and turn around and go in the opposite direction? So suffering can have that effect on people. It can provide an opportunity to test your love for your loyalty to God. And of course, just go to Job and look at his entire life. Because so much of that was about testing Job's loyalty to God. Because Satan kept coming back and saying, yeah, you've made a hedge around Job. You've made his life perfect. You start taking these things away from Job, all of the good things in his life, and he'll turn on you. So that's why God allowed it. It showed Job's loyalty. So sufferings can do that. Sometimes trials have the effect, because people allow it to, of turning them away from God. But it can also have just the opposite effect, turning people toward God, testing their loyalty. Okay, let's go on a little bit more. We do know the Bible makes a guarantee that whatever comes along, trials and difficulties, there's a promise that it's not going to be too much. It's a promise. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and look at this promise. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13.
No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure.
Okay. Guarantee, it's a promise that He never allows us to be tested beyond what we're capable of. And since He knows us better than we do, He knows what the limit is. He knows exactly how much we can bear. So He guarantees it will never be beyond what we can bear. Now, we might think it's beyond what we can bear, obviously. But He says it's a promise that it's not going to be beyond that. He will make a way. He will make us a way to go through this, so that we can endure it. He didn't say He was going to take it away. He just said he's going to give you a way so you can endure it, persevere through it. And of course, to go to Jesus' life, he never asked that those things all be taken away from him, just that he could endure through them. And of course, that's what we pray for too. 2 Peter chapter 2 now kind of says the same thing, but a slightly different way. 2 Peter 2. Verse 9. Someone would read that for us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Okay, he knows how to rescue the godly from trials and difficulties. He knows how to do that. Because he knows every situation we go through. He knows every affliction that comes along to us. He knows every difficulty we go through, every trial we go through. He knows it better than anybody else knows it. So we might think that we can describe to someone how we're feeling or how this is affecting us. And we think we can describe it to them so well that they can understand, and to a certain degree they can, but not like God can understand it. God knows exactly how we feel at every difficulty and every trial that comes to us. He knows exactly how we feel, knows exactly our limit, knows exactly how it's affecting us. And that's why Peter says he knows how to rescue us. He knows how to rescue us from those difficulties. Every one of them, he knows how to rescue us. Again, it's a promise. It's a promise. Peter also says that we can cast our burdens upon him because he cares for us. All right. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. I want to talk about the two people who built houses and apply that to the things we're talking about. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great." So these things, the wind and the rains, the floods and so forth, represent those trials and difficulties and so forth, sufferings that come to people. That come to people, all people. And again, you see there's two choices. You're either going to be able to withstand and become strong, or you're going to fall. There's nothing in between. So, let me read some of the things about the floods of life. The floods of life can be our struggles, our fight to stay above the surface for a breath of air. Sometimes we're flooded with family problems, health, death, disappointments in and with others. We have these type of experiences. Let's go to Psalm 69 for a minute and read about what David went through during some of his times. Psalm 69. Would someone read the first three verses? Psalm 69, the first three verses. Ever feel like that? See, that's how David is describing a difficult time in his life. When he's suffering, when he's had these trials come to him. The floods, like in Matthew 7. Those were some of the things that came to David. We need to pray for God's guidance. See, that's what Jesus says in the prayer. Pray for God's guidance so that you won't fall victim to the floods. The winds of life can be those things that attempt to change matters that are right and good. Redefining a marriage, same-sex unions, truth no longer absolute. Disseminating information so that evil appears to be good and good appears to be evil. Those changing winds that continue to blow in our society. To a Christian, those things are trials and difficulties. I mean, they are. They come at us and we look at our very secular world and we see how so many things are anti-God and anti-church. And so those things are, they can kind of beat on us. They can kind of beat on us. That's why he calls them winds. The rains of life can be the subtle evils that eroded our spiritual foundation. Materialism, indifference, apathy, immorality. On and on the list could go. Things that like beat at us continually. It's not like one great big flood, but things that just beat at us over and over and over. They're continually there. And they can, you know, erode the foundation. Again, he's talking about building houses. The two people, one obeyed God, his house was strong. The other one did not, and his house fell. Two choices. Two builders, two choices, two consequences. And it's all about how people reacted to the floods, the rains, the winds. The floods come to everybody, the rains come to everybody, the winds come to everybody. And it's all about who's going to allow God to guide them and who isn't. Who's going to obey God and who isn't. So we can be victorious. In other words, we can conquer these things. But like Jesus said, we have to ask for guidance so that we don't fall victim to them. And that's what we need to do over and over again. Let's finish with John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. And then 1 John 4:4. Someone would read that. 1 John 4:4.
We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
There's the difference. There's the difference. We can overcome because of God. Because of the one who's in us is greater than the ones in the world. So yeah, trials are going to come and sufferings are going to come and persecutions are going to come. But we don't have to let them knock us down. There's always a way for us to go through them and persevere and become stronger. Peter would also say that these trials refine us. They purify us. Just like purifying gold. And that's what these can do. They can refine us and make us pure. Dean has chosen an invitation song now for us. And the invitation song, the words there are to help us think about our life and how we're dealing with life and whether we need to ask for prayers, for strength, for forgiveness. And if we do need to respond to that invitation, then we encourage you to do that. As we stand and sing this song. Let's stand, please.